You know, we've dealt in the last couple of weeks, we've dealt with kind of the condition of our country, and there's definitely trouble everywhere we turn. And seeing these liberal governments destroying the cities and allowing people to come in, destroy the cities, allowing people to just take them over, run the police out, take over the precincts, is ridiculous. It's crazy. And making the very people that protect you your enemy. And it's crazy the place that we've gotten. And they want to shame anyone who has any disagreement with that. And Chris, this last week, she just posted something on Facebook. And she gets herself in trouble sometimes, I guess. And they said, just because she said that she prayed and supported the president, they said, you must belong to a cult. And that's the way some people thought. And they talk about hate, but I've never seen hate spewed like I have from the liberal left. It's crazy how much they do. But anyway, we're not going to get on that this morning. We're going to preach on something even more important. Ezekiel chapter 37, you're familiar with it. It's called the vision of the valley of dry bones given to Ezekiel. And of course, in verses 11 through 14, God interprets this vision. And it's dealing with the nation of Israel. God, now listen to me very carefully. God calls blindness, and you can find this in Romans chapter number 11, but read verse chapter 9 through 11. God calls blindness to come upon Israel. For 2,000 years plus, Israel has been blinded in part to who the Messiah really was and who the Messiah is. There is coming an eye-opening experience for them, according to Malachi. When they see him come back in the air, they're going to see and recognize him who they have pierced. And the Bible says that Israel is going to be saved as a nation in a day. They're going to recognize and they're going to accept him, the Son of God, as the Messiah when they see him coming back to the earth. And he sets his feet upon the Mount of Olives. Some people say, well, God would not allow them to be blinded. That's exactly what God did, and they're dead. Right now, they are a dead nation spiritually. And even though they might practice Judaism, and even though they might practice other things, they are dead spiritually unless they recognize who Jesus is and worships God through Christ. And Jew and Gentile alike, according to the writings of Paul, must we all come alike, and we all of one. And we get saved, and we're the church is the one that God is using right now. And we have benefited by the blindness God sent Israel. Now, the only thing is, let's read a minute, and then I'll come back to this, and I'll pick this up where I left off. Look, if you would, in verse number 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied, and there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. The bones came together, and bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came upon them, or into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now, if you'll notice here, the Bible tells us that God was going to send and cause a new spirit upon them and a new heart. Look, if you would, back in verse 30, chapter 36 and verse 26. Talking to the nation of Israel, he said, there's coming a day when a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And so the fulfillment of this prophecy, if you look in verse number 14 of chapter 37, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, and then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. And some people believe, because Israel has been put back in their land, that that's the fulfillment of this prophecy. It has not been fulfilled yet. What they are is they're a bunch of dead bones, even in their nation as they stand, because they still reject the Messiah. They still reject Jesus Christ. They still don't see him as the Son of God sent to remedy the world of their sin. But they will one of these days. But as I said, Israel had to be blinded for the church to come into play. But keep your finger there and turn with me real quickly to Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3, and those of you listening online, and you say you're saved, and you say you love the church, I want you to listen very carefully this morning. In chapter 3, talking to the church of Laodicea, beginning in verse 14, I'm not going to read there, but go on down if you would, to verse 17. It tells you the attitude of the church age before Jesus comes. He says in verse 16, he says, so then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Behold, thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. In other words, he says that the church age, now listen to me, the church has got to die and become dead for Israel to come back and get his place back again. We are seeing the day of dead churches. There's dead churches everywhere we turn, and many churches are dying. And this morning I want to preach, can our church possibly live again? And I want to share with you some thoughts, and I want you to stay with me very carefully and pay attention. And stay with me this morning. If you say you love the church and you care for the church, you need to listen. I don't know when Jesus may come, but we see the signs of his coming everywhere we turn. We see the days of Sodom. We see the days of Noah. We see the signs of Israel in what God had prophesied there. We see the false prophets and false teachings everywhere, and people being deceived because they do not know the Word of God. This morning I want to preach about our churches are dying. Can they live again? Before we get to the question, can they live again, look back in your Bibles in chapter 37 in verse 1. The Bible says that he carried them up, and I want to use, and I know this is talking about Israel, and I know Israel is not the church, but I want to use this chapter as a type and use it as a symbol of what the church is going to be before Jesus comes back for it and calls out the saints that are saved and leaves everybody else behind for the tribulation period of time. Notice if you would in verse 1, the Bible says that he sent them down in the midst of the valley that was full of dry bones.
Now, let me date the time in which our church is existing. It's existing in a time when politics has no principles. You don't find politicians has any principles. Very few of them has any standards. Very few of them stands on principles. Most of them does this. And whatever blows, that's what they jump on the bandwagon. Just like they said, well, let's defund the police and eliminate the police. Well, they stuck their finger in the wind and everybody jumped on theirs. Oh, let's do that. Let's let them burn our cities. Oh, yes, let them just come in and burn our cities. They are politicians that has absolutely no principles. They can't stand up on their own feet and say, I'm not going to do this. This is what I believe is best for our country. And by the way, that's why our president is getting hit from the left and the right both, because he's trying to change the attitude of the politicians that's been bought and sold by lobbyists for years in Washington and in our local cities. And by the way, all these cities that are burning and rioting and all these things that are going on in these cities, you know, they run around and say, well, we got to vote. We got to vote. Wake up. You've been voting for the same type of people for 50 years, and they're passing the same type of policies, and they're destroying you and doing nothing about it. And what do? You turn around and continue to vote for the same tired mess. You got politics without any principles. You got pleasures without any convictions. You can go and do whatever you want to do and have no convictions at all about what you do. How you look, where you go, the things you do. We're full of pleasures. The Bible says that it would be a time, the last days, will be a time when we'd be lovers of pleasures. More than what? Lovers of God. And we do. We seek pleasures. You know, it's raining, we can't come to church, but lo and behold, if somebody's got a sale over at a shopping center, or somebody's selling something at a restaurant, we can get up and go to that. But we can't even come to the house of God. Knowledge without truth. We're living in a time when knowledge is being increased, but truth is being decreased. And the media hates truth. And every time you hear truth, they try to stomp it down. Business without any morals. And you know, the businesses, I blame them for what's happening in this country. Every time that something happens in this country, the first thing they start doing is bowing down to the demands of all these looters and so forth. And it's shame. They want to take every cop movie off and every cop show off the TV. Anybody who says they support the police, they want to run them out of town. Quit doing business with them. Science without any humanity. They say they care and they say, oh, they've got such compassion. We need compassion. We need love. Well, how about the love for all those that you're killing, 60 million of them out of the womb? Taking precious lives. Science with no humanity. They care all about this global warming, but yet they let these babies be killed by the groves. Then we have the deadness of churches, dry dead bones. You know what's got our churches dead? Listen to me. We replaced preaching with programs. We decided we had programs and we replaced the preaching of the Word of God. Salvation, we traded it for church membership. Doesn't matter who, what they claim, we just want to bring them in because that's the only way we get them anymore. No conviction at all by the Holy Ghost of God. We trade God's Word for philosophy of man. Everybody wants to say how to do this, how to do that, and they write all these how-to books. Give all this philosophy and they gather people together and they have these great arenas full of people and they call it a church, and yet instead of preaching the Word of God, they give them philosophy. That's what's killed our churches. Convictions for compromise. We compromise on everything instead of having any conviction about anything. Revivals. We trade them for seminars. Just put on a little something. Oh, let's have a little singing here. Oh, we don't have time for a revival. I remember when our churches used to have 2 and 3 week revivals. Anymore, most evangelists says that we can't get them to attend for 3 days in a row. 3 days. You want to know what's caused dead churches? Wednesday night prayer meeting, Bible study. We've turned it into family night. Just stay home, have family night. Somebody said, well, it's good for families to get together. Yes, but not when the church is supposed to be meeting. Prayer rooms, we've turned them into play rooms. Used to be a time when we get together, even here. Used to be a time we get together, we pray before every service. But churches have taken and they've changed prayer rooms into play rooms. Many times when I visit people, the first thing they ask me, what do you have for our kids to do? How about listening to the Word of God and getting them saved? What's more important? That they enjoy coloring some coloring book, or they enjoy playing some hopscotch game, or is it that they get their soul saved and go to heaven someday? You're going to reach them when they're young, or the world's going to have them. And by the way, I know there's times when physically you can't come to church. But this viral attendance is not what God had in mind when he said that not forsake the assembling yourselves together. As a church, we need to come together. We should be here. The first day of the week, the Bible says that we are to bring our tithes and offerings as God has prospered us together. We want to continue killing church, continue trying to have a satellite church. I understand there's times when people can't come, and it's great that they can tune into us this morning. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't substitute the feeling when the people of God really gets together and they have the Holy Spirit of God and God moves in a service. You can't transpire that over into a video. That's why we need to gather ourselves together. Our churches are dead because of these things and others. Look in verse 2. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, they were many in the open valley, and lo, they were very what? We have exchanged, listen to me, stay with me. We have found places that they have exchanged praise. They jump up and they call it praise, yet they are ignorant to the knowledge of the Word of God. We've exchanged praise for the study of the Word of God. We've also exchanged worship for meals. We go in places sometimes when we're driving, visiting, and we go to Sunday school. Instead of having Sunday school, we go there. They say, oh, we eat. Come on in here. We'll give you donuts and coffee. And we've got a full meal right here. Cook you. I didn't come there for a meal. I came there to get into the study of the Word of God. What we've done is we've took the pure Word of God and we perverted it for versions of word of men. You hear me? Men has taken and changed the Word of God to the way they want to interpret it. And people say, well, he said the Greek meant this. Well, why don't you go back and understand the knowledge and the study and the life dedication of those men that wrote the King James Bible and see how much Greek and Hebrew they had. And compare what flimsy a year or two of Greek study that somebody else had to what they had. And what we've done is, and you know what I've noticed? I've noticed that places that continually exchanges the pure Word of God for these man-made versions, I've noticed they just dry up. I've seen churches, some of our home churches years ago that we went to, vibrant, seeing people saved.
They've dried up because they've gone away from the Word of God. The Word of God is what's alive. Listen, folks, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to tell you we have dead, dying churches. Our altars are dry. When's the last time you've been on the altar? Our eyes are dry. When's the last time you wept? Our baptistries are dry. When's the last time we baptized somebody? Our prayers are dry. You all remember? Those of you who's got a little age to you, you remember when the church was alive? How many times have we seen the altars full? I seen a time one time when there was not one soul. We have about 70-some people here. Not one soul was left in the altar or in the seats. I was praying, and I looked up. We had 10 people saved that night. I looked up, and the only person left there was a young man, his mother sitting back there on the very back seat. And he said he was going to be the first graduate of Jordan Christian Academy that was not saved when he graduated. We've been praying for him. And I looked up, and lo and behold, everybody in the place was on the altar. Except him. And it was just a second till he come running down through there, tears flying down his face, wanting to be saved. What happened to our churches? What has caused them to dry up? Are you satisfied with dry churches? Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival nights. Empty and dry. We have and you know, all this virus has come, and nobody's had a revival lately. But back when we were having them, even then, sometimes it's hard to get people to attend a few nights in a row. How many of you were saved during a revival? Let's see your hands. You know what's important about revivals? It gets you day in and day out, day after day after day. It gets you concentrating upon your soul and upon the Word of God. And the Spirit of God deals with you. And if you're not able to go back in the world without being there the next night, and therefore the world and the devil doesn't get a chance to snatch away the Word of God from you. Souls are still dry and thirsty, folks. We still live in a dry, thirsty land. Look in verse 3. Can these live again? Can our church live again? Can we have life? Yes. The Bible teaches that we will have the Holy Spirit with us. It dwells in us, and it will be here present with the church until it's taken out. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when it's taken out, the son of perdition will show itself, the Antichrist himself, and he will come and he will show himself when he that now restrains him, the spirit of Antichrist, that's the Holy Spirit of God, will be taken out. As long as the Holy Spirit's here, we can live again. How? One is, we got to get back to old-fashioned preaching. Somebody said, preacher, you can't have big crowds if you preach the old-fashioned way. So, Jeremiah preached 70 years and didn't get one soul. Noah preached 120 years and didn't get a big crowd. God doesn't say preach for the crowds. He said, preach my word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort in all long-suffering and doctrine. We got to get back to it. Somebody said, well, preacher, I want to go somewhere where it makes me feel good every time I hear preaching. This positive preaching is absolutely killing the church. Because the Word of God is sharp. It cuts you.
When you get into the real word of God and study it, Brother Junior, first thing it does is convict you of things in your life. And not only you, but every soul in here that really gets into it, it will cut you and it will show you some things that you need. If you were that perfect, Jesus wouldn't have come to begin with. He came to save sinners. And we still need his help each and every day because we are sinners. We also need old-fashioned repentance. What's old-fashioned repentance? See where we went wrong and want to change and want God to do something bad enough that we're willing to do something for it. I'm going to tell you something. Now listen to me and listen to me out here on there. If the churches today don't care enough for their own church, the church is going to die. We're going to die one of these days anyway, and we're going to be taken, and we're going to be taken away, but a lot of churches are going to die in the process. Those few that's going to be hanging on when Lord hollers and shouts and Trump plays, we're going to be taken out. And that could be at any time. But until that time, I don't want to live in a dead church. I don't want to exist in a dead church. But we have to want it bad enough that we want to see it back the way it was. We want to see life back in the church. I've seen times when the Holy Spirit of God has filled this house. I've seen times when God just moved mightily upon people's souls. We have to do that, folks. Look, if you would, in verse 5 and 6. And by the way, in verse 4, he tells us how. He says, prophesy unto these bones. Preach to them. Preach the word. Verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. The result, the Holy Spirit of God, if we come to him in the old-fashioned repentance, we come wanting to see God move in our life. The danger is, listen to me. The danger of the dead church of Laodicea is we have need of nothing. We're fine. Everything's great. We come together, we say, we can't even shake hands anymore. We come together, say hello, have a good time, sing a few songs, preach a little bit, go home, everything's fine. That's the attitude of Laodicea church. Everything's good. Let's just let it dead. Let people die and go to hell all around us. The church, can we live? The Bible says yes in verse 5. We need the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and that will bring breath upon the church. You say, what gives us a power to go out and witness? The Holy Ghost. Look in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. The Holy Ghost was not sent in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 to start the church. It was sent to empower the church, to be witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to othermost parts of the world. Life of God, speaking life through the Word of God. How many of you remember times when you heard the Word of God and the Holy Spirit was so strong that it just shook the whole place? And every heart in there was attentive. We're missing that, aren't we? Have you noticed? Have you noticed that the church is dying? Have you noticed that the altars are empty? Have you noticed that the aisles are no longer being full? There was a time in this church, I remember we went for 4 months, 69 souls. We did not have one service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. For 4 solid months, we did not have one service that we did not have at least one person walk the aisle and get saved. For 4 months solid. God was moving alive. But he says he opens doors and he shuts doors. We have to want the right kind. We have to believe that God's able to do it. Look in verse 7 and 8 real quickly.
So I prophesied as I was commanded. I prophesied there was a noise and a shaking. The bones came together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, the sinews and the flesh came upon them and skin covered them, but there was what? Listen to me. Please listen. There's a deception among the churches. Some people think because they make a lot of noise that that's the Holy Spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when He comes, He changes lives. He affects you. He changes you. When the Holy Spirit of God comes and deals with you, you don't walk out here the same way you walked in here. You walk out differently. Not only that, but also the Bible says there was a lot of shaking. Somebody said, well, we jump up and down and we dance and we... There can be a whole lot of shaking going on and still no Holy Spirit. People are being deceived. You know what they do? They gyrate the music. They gyrate the music to such a degree that it moves you. And many times the music's loud. It's even hard to understand the words that's being said. And somebody said, well, it caused me to dance. No, it was the music that caused you to move. Have you ever noticed even sometimes sitting here, you'll hear music and you'll start moving to the music? It's easy to do. The Holy Spirit of God, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Somebody said, well, we're increasing in numbers. Just because you're increasing numbers doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is in the increase. You want to know how to increase in numbers? Be attractive to the world. And let the world feel comfortable coming in. Participating. And that's what we have. 9:10, I'm closing. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe, breathe upon these, and they may live. So I prophesied, and he commanded, and the breath came unto them. They lived, and they stood up on their feet, an exceeding army. Exceeding great army. We need for God to breathe in our worship. Listen to me. If we come just to put 30 minutes or 45 minutes into a service and walk away with nothing, that's what we got. And if we continue on, it will be a period of time, not only our church, but other churches, until they're dead. And the church has got to die out for Israel come back. But it doesn't mean that God can't breathe some life back into us if we would just get on our faces before God. We need to have God to breathe in our witness, in our fellowship, in our walk. Folks, those of you listening online and those of you listening here, if we want our churches to continue, you know the marvelous thing about church? One time our services usually run between an hour and a half. One time God got in it and we just started seeing tremendous people saved. And when we dismissed, I thought we was there about an hour and a half, 2 hours at the most. And people walked out the door, you're shaking your head, Cliff. You remember, people walked out the door, and you know what 75% of them said? Preacher, you closed too quick tonight. And I looked, and we were there for 4.5 hours. You know why people didn't pay attention to it? Because God was everywhere. He moved. And I people said, I've never been in a service. When I went to Panama, our services would last 3.5 hours, 4 hours. I sat by a preacher and some people come in after about an hour and a half. He leaned over, he said, don't pay attention to them. They're always a few minutes late. Hour and a half. here, give me a 20-minute sermonette and I'm done. Don't hold me over 12 o'clock. I've had people tell me this, preacher, I'd come to your church, but sometimes you all hold it past 12 and I just don't want to do that. Well, that's Holy Ghost, isn't it? That's looking for God to move. And you know the sad part about it, folks, and I'm going to close, but I want you to get this. The tragedy and the victims are our children and our grandchildren dying without the Lord, being deceived that they got something that they don't. I talked to someone this last week, and she called me crying. She used to come to church here, and she made a profession in life, and she said she needed something. And we talked for some time on the phone, and she finally realized that she wasn't saved. Folks, I cannot stress what's going to happen if Christ comes back. If you're not ready, you're going to be left. And I'm going to be honest with you. The dead church age of Laodicea is here. We are seeing the product of dead and dying churches. But that doesn't mean that God will not blow some life into it. But we must seek His face, amen. Let's stand and get a song.
Page 57, Amazing Grace.
You remember that Amazing Grace? How many of you remember when God saved you? How many of you remember what the church used to be? Remember when we used to have the seats plumb full during revival? Remember when we used to see God move mightily? And a sinner come sit in the midst of us and just couldn't sit still because of the Holy Spirit of God? Had a guy come one time, I'd invite him from work, and he said, every time I come, I just feel convicted. I said, amen. Folks, we need life blown back into our churches. Amen.